Title for a message. I think this is on. Hopefully it's going to work. We'll try that out in a moment. My computer is just loading. I thought that I was going to be ready to be able to deliver something this evening and deliver it, you know, reasonably well. I would like to do something that's a bit fun. But this afternoon, I've been to a memorial service for a woman who I used to work with, who recently died. She was only 57, and it's just put me in a very reflective mood, considering the topic that I do want to talk about. Because this woman was a woman who exemplified personal holiness, and I kind of think about my own life, my own heart, the way that I operate, and I think that I fall short in every single area compared to this person who has gone to be with the Lord. And so for me to be able to stand here and talk about this, I kind of feel as though I'm just not the right person at all, really, to be honest. So I'm just going to put that out there straight away. But I wonder whether or not we would still be able to do something this evening together. I don't want to do something too traditional. I want to share on this topic of what personal holiness is. And the reason why is because it's kind of following on from the message that I taught 2 weeks ago on the Sunday morning to do with love. And we understood the various characteristics of love. And one of the conclusions that I brought to the church was that the principal characteristic of love was holiness. That love burns holy. God is love. And whenever we see him revealed in a spiritual sense, even upon to man, he is revealed in holiness. Holiness. And it is, I believe, a firm requirement of our lives as Christians to be holy. To be holy, because Jesus said, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let me bring up this message. So I would like to do something, like I say, that is a little bit maybe left field today, a little bit different. I would like to do something interactive with you, if possible, and it is something that is hopefully going to be fun, and it's not supposed to be very, this isn't supposed to be all very serious. You know, I'm not going to ask you to do something that is going to go onto your record as a member of the church, for example, something like that, you know, like the filing system that we probably have, but I'm sure we don't. So, first off, let's read some scripture. So if you can please turn with me to Romans chapter 12, I'd be very grateful. And we're going to read from verses 9 to 21. 9 to 21. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and the title of this particular passage in Scripture is Behave Like a Christian. I believe in the NIV version, the title is Love. Has anybody got the NIV? Could they confirm that? No? Yeah? NIV, it says Love. Okay, cool. Okay, this is what it says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging or lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on things. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And like I said, so in the NKJV, the title of this passage is Behaving Like a Christian. The NIV, it says love. And this is very practical, isn't it? Very practical, almost list of things to say what loving behavior actually looks like. And I've said that, you know, I think that love is really exemplified best in the holiness that we're able to offer. So holiness in action might be something of what you're seeing in this passage, okay? Holiness in action. It's kind of almost like a prescription. That's kind of what I'm seeing in the passage here. It's like it's a list of things that could be considered to be behaviorally sound if we are wanting to grow in personal holiness. And I asked that question. I wonder what the responses were like. I couldn't attend our house fellowship last Thursday because I had my end of program meal with the National Grid on that particular evening. I wasn't available to be a part of it. But the fifth question that I asked in that house fellowship was, how can you develop personal holiness? I just wonder what some of the responses were and how difficult it was to answer that question. We can have a chat about it later on, maybe. But here, we have some instructions, I think. And I just wonder whether or not it would be worthwhile, and this is hopefully where the fun bit comes in, testing ourselves to see how well we fare against all of these elements in this particular passage. So if you were to score yourself out of 100 against all of these elements in this passage, how well do you think you would do? Is anybody up for having a go at doing that? Shall we give it a go? Let's give it a go. All right, let's give it a go. So I've got right here my wonderful daughter and assistant, Demby, who is going to bring you a sheet of paper that has 20 questions on it. And these are the 20 questions. That's 1 to 10. That's 1 to 20. Are you ready to go? Okay, if you don't want to do it, please do not do it if you're not interested at all. There is absolutely no obligation. It is really just an exercise that is hopefully somewhat humorous. Remember, I used to be a teacher for a long time, and so I enjoy doing exercises with people if they really want to get into it. Hopefully, it won't take more than about 10 minutes. But we've got 1 to 5. So for that statement, for example, I love without hypocrisy. Would you say that is a 5? I strongly agree with that statement in relation to myself. Or would you say that you are a 1? I strongly disagree with that statement in relation to myself. Okay? Let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. Right. And you're going to help. Give some of these things out. I'm going to help you. You can take. Let me take some of those. Yeah. You got a pen or do you need a pen? You got a pen? You got a pen? Do you need a pen?
Yeah.
Okay. You can take one if you want. Yeah.
Thank you.
If you know, okay. Would you like just one? Okay. No problem.
Do you want one?
Would you like one? No? Okay. No problem. Come on, Martin. You're 90. You need to get at least 90. You're an elder.
Oh, no.
Do you need a pen?
I'll put Billy's name on it.
You're going to give it a go? You're going to give it a go? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to miss you out. I've only got one more here. I'll give this one over here and I'll bring you some more. Okay. Do you want to give it a go? Yeah. Give it a go. Awesome. All right. Over here? Is that all of them? No, we've got one more. We've got two more. I think I might have one left over somewhere. Oops. Are you going to give it a go? Are you going to do one there? Do you want to do it? I've got one. How many have you got there? Two? Would you like to give it a go? No? No? Okay. Go on, Jamie. Rock and roll. Okay. All right. Okay. Do you want the other ones, the 11 to 20, yeah? Okay. Oh, no. There we go. No problem. Do you want to give it a go, Didi? Sure. Your mother can explain them to you. I can use the screen. Say that again, sorry. Yeah, just add. That's right, add all the ones that you've circled up. Yeah, there at the bottom. Yeah, absolutely. How are you doing, Didi? Are you nearly done? Yeah? You getting there? Okay, 2 minutes, then we're going to crack on. In fact, actually, I won't use that. calculating totals.
Add them all up together,
yeah. Add them all up together to get your total. This is good. This is good. Sign of good parenting. All right, 30 seconds and we're going to crack on. Just waiting for a couple more people. Please be patient. I think that's on there somewhere. Okay, we have totals. Yeah? You have totals? Okay. All right. Did anybody get between 0 and 29? You can't get 0. The least you can get is 20. Well, then we're all right, then we're doing okay, aren't we? I should have put 0 on there, shouldn't I? Did anybody get between 0 and 29? Nobody got between 0 and 29. No, we're just not going to keep a permanent record. Yeah. Yeah. We won't put it on your file. So. Okay. All right. Excellent. That means that you won't necessarily need to have strategic visits from the elders. Very good. Marvelous. Did anybody get between 30 and 59? What? Mine. 1, 2, 3. 3. Okay. This is good. This is good. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Excellent. You know, it's a bumpy road, so you can be forgiven. The future is slightly bright, at least, anyway. So, excellent. Did anybody get between 60 and 79? Ooh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is amazing. This is pretty good. Okay. 60 and 79. Very good. Hold your head high. Hold your head high. But not that high. All right. Because, you know, we must remember that you've got to be humble. You know, you stride with an uncommon and earthly confidence. So well done for that. So how many people got between 80 and 99? 1, 2, 3, 4. The pastor got between that. So that's 4. Righto. Well, yeah, you're living in the cloud of unknowing. This incredible thing that is not necessarily understandable. You're touching heaven. Earth is often agony. And people think you're weird. It's just the result of personal holiness, isn't it? Did anybody get 100? Did you get 100? Did you actually get 100? Because if you did, then that means that Jesus has already returned. So... you didn't know, Mahen. I mean, okay. And so, interestingly enough, I just thought, you know, when we're doing this about what those kind of corporate numbers might mean. So I thought, what corporate action should we take if the majority of the people got between those bands? So fortunately, nobody got between North and 29, which means that we don't need to call an emergency board meeting. Just a few people got between 30 and 59, so we can all pat one another on the back. You were near the 29. You just admitted that publicly, Marhen. Most people got between 60 and 79, which means that Pastor Christie can get a pay rise. And not as many people got between 80 and 99, which means that we're not quite rapture ready yet. So, but there we go. So that's just a little statistical exercise. Hopefully you found it a bit fun, because it was supposed to be fun. Of course, we can't take a look at something like that and decide that that is actually the truth about ourselves. It's not that simple. But there is some truth in it, though, because we're taking a look at a passage of Scripture that does give these very useful indicators of what it is that we should be attending onto. There is a reflection of truth in it, at least, that we can kind of take away and look through in our own time. Now, I've said this a number of times. I think love, the essence of love burns wholly. All right, but if we take a look at all of these things, if our lives were characterized by the need to have to tick off all of these things, life wouldn't be very much fun, would it? Because life isn't as easy as just being a checkbox exercise. And these actions, I mean, imagine trying to live up to that on a daily basis. It's just not necessarily very, very possible. This drive to want to develop in these characteristic elements really should come through that holy unction that comes from the power of the indwelling Spirit from deep down inside of us. It's not something that's overarching in the sense that, yes, I need to do these and these and these and these. Am I doing them? Write them on my mirror in the morning to make sure I do them in the day. It's different. It's because of the power of the indwelling Spirit inside of us that helps us to be able to accomplish such things. Because love is not law. Love is not law, okay? So we can't take that list and say that if I'm doing all of those things, that means that I am holy. Okay? Does that make sense? So we can't have a checkbox and say, fine, I'm doing all of these things, I'm holy. It's just not that simple. Life isn't that simple, because it's really about the attitude that goes into those things. If you have a checkbox exercise in life, you might do whatever you can to tick those things off, but your attitude for doing them might not be right in the sight of God. Does that make sense? And it's the attitude with which we go into wanting to do such things that matters more to the Lord than the outcomes themselves. That's one of the most beautiful things about living the life of the Christian, because God sees our attitudes. He sees our motivation that goes into what it is that we do. So even when the outcomes are terrible, he can still look at you and go, well done. Well done. And that's something I think we also need to cultivate as parents. The attitude that goes into what the child has done rather than the outcome itself. This is the reason why Jesus was actually in such... He had so much conflict with the Pharisees, wasn't it? The Pharisees were all about the externality. They were about making sure that they got seen for doing all of these things. They would, paint their faces white when they're fasting and make their phylacteries wide and long to drag along the ground as displays, signs of seeming holiness. But Jesus actually said, you are whitewashed tombs, full of decay and all dead men's bones. That's what Jesus said about them. You might look good on the outside, but actually on the inside, your attitudes, they are absolutely not right in my sight. And it is really important that we do develop those kind of attitudes. And God helps us to be able to do that through, like I say, the unction of his indwelling Spirit. But attitude and action are reconciled in the Scriptures in various places. But if we're in Romans, if we take a look at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, we see something of this reconciliation that Paul is talking about with regards to both attitude and action. So let's take a look at that. So Romans 13, 8 to 10. And the heading of this part in my Bible says, love your neighbor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. What he's saying is that social relationships can find harmony by having the right attitude towards one another. That is the attitude of love towards one another. What he's really doing is he's reiterating Jesus' statement. The new commandment. And what is the new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. He says that if you obey this within your social relationships, if you're obeying this command within your social relationships, then you are fulfilling the law, because love fulfills the law. Does that make sense? Now you might ask the question, what law am I talking about here? Well, it is this: the universal moral law that undergirds and underpins all human interactivity, always, in all places, at all times. The universal moral law. Now, God summed up this universal moral law where? In the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, to sum up the standard of moral human interactivity that God desires. And what we're hearing here in this 13th chapter of Romans is that if you love one another as Christ loved you, you are fulfilling the requirements of this moral law. If you really do love by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within you, if you are doing that, you are fulfilling the requirements of the moral law. I personally think that is very good news. Very good news indeed. Because it means that we don't have to, as believers, be working towards meeting a prescribed set of requirements, things like that. We don't need to have a checkbox. We don't need to have this list of 20 things where it says, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's fantastic. We don't need that, because what we need is the power of the indwelling Spirit helping us to love, that we might love our neighbor, that we might meet the requirements of the new commandment, which is simply to love one another, so that the rest of the law can be met within that obedience. Does that make sense? I like that, because it means that I don't have to think about, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Did I get that right? And in doing that, you're constantly thinking, I need to improve this. I need to improve that. I've got to work on that. If I could only spend 20 minutes longer working on that, then I'll definitely be a better person. It's so limiting, and it's so exhausting to have to do something like that. Because you could say that about every single area of your life. I need to be a better parent. I need to be a better co-worker. I need to be a better member of my church. I need to serve harder. I need to pray longer. I need to spend more time in the Word of God. I need to be more favorable towards the people that I am meeting on a daily basis. You could granularize that as much as you want, and you're going to come up with a list of, 1,000 things that you could do better. How does that help you as a person? How many laws did the Pharisees have in the Mizvot? There was something like 600 and odd, wasn't there? 600 laws that they would have to meet to call themselves a proper Pharisee. No wonder they were so unhappy. No wonder they were so unhappy, because it would have been impossible to do such a thing. To think I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to improve on this, I need to get better at that. It's almost like a soft legalism, isn't it, really? To give yourself over to that kind of thinking. And the problem with that is that it can, with the wrong kind of leadership being in oversight over that kind of thinking, it can lead to competitiveness within the church. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, within the churches that you've been to. Competitiveness, people thinking, I am definitely holier than that person. Or I think I should have the opportunity because I am definitely a more capable and more charismatic person than this other person is. That one-upmanship, that competitiveness, that actually completely dissolves the core of what Jesus wants us to abide by within the new commandment. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. But we can be free from that if indeed we do live up to that new commandment. There's another thing, another really good aspect as well involved in just concentrating on that holy unction within to help us to love. It means that we don't need to have checklists, and it means that we can defer, we can give the responsibility of us, of our personal growth, we can give that responsibility to God. And we can leave the responsibility of our personal growth in his hands rather than us just going, yeah, I need to work on that, I need to work on that, I need to work on that, I need to work on that. And the benefit of leaving it in the hands of the Lord is that he knows us so much better than we know ourselves. Because if we think, I need to work on this, I need to work on this, I need to work on this, and I need to work on this, how do you know you're judging yourself correctly in the first place to be able to know what it is that you should be working on? Do you have the complete self-knowledge that God has of you to be able to determine those things? Far better, abide, obey that new commandment to love within the holy unction of the Holy Spirit. Far better to do that and to leave the responsibility in the hands and the heart of divine perspective over your lives. God wants to shine upon us. I'm absolutely convinced of that. He wants to shine upon us his holy love, 100%. There's a wonderful passage in the scriptures that says this. It says, you know, the Lord wants to shine upon us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We concentrate upon him. The Lord shines upon us. Remember the description that I gave, that holiness is formed in the soul that is in close proximity to the Holy One. Right? It's not something that we try and chase after and take ourselves. We just abide close to the person of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we then allow the good growth of God within us to become so effective that all of those 20 things can be carried out without us even realizing it. And that's the best way to be, because that means that you've developed something of what we might call humility without even really being conscious of the fact that you're humble. And that's a benefit, because no doubt some people might have considered themselves humble and then decided that they are humble, and then they become proud because of their idea of their own humility, which is just a very complex thing, you know? So unfortunately it can happen. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to share that with you today, that it's about that abiding. It's not about a checklist exercise. And just to wrap it up, I want to share with you the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, and I'll read it out. You are a living epistle. No, I've paraphrased this as well, by the way. It's not exactly as it's written. You are a living epistle, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is the heart. This is the law having been fulfilled through obedience to the new commandment, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Living epistles, not written on tablets of stone like the Ten Commandments were, but written upon tablets of flesh. That is the heart, your heart, my heart. That's where the Lord wants us to be, no doubt, I'm sure. But that's it. That's all I've got to share. Thank you.